from the Cyber Hub bunker in studio. You're tuning in to the Cyber Hub podcast. And now for your host and CISO, James Azar.
Good morning, security gang. Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Hub podcast. It's great to have all of y'all here with us this morning. We've got a busy show today. I mean, busy. First of all, today's show is brought to you by our friends over at Nudge Security. You'll hear more from them here in the show momentarily. But before we get started, Pacho, I'm on the road, obviously not in the studio. And as you know, I love doing this. So no matter where I am, I find the time and the reason to do this. It's pretty early as I'm recording this. But again, no time like the present to go over what's happening for so many cybersecurity practitioners across the planet. So let's go ahead and get the show going. But before we do that, you know what's really important for me every morning beyond cybersecurity? Espressos. I love them. Can't have a day without them. If you go to our Substack, jamesazar.substack.com, and you support us, you get one of these awesome espresso travel mugs. And it's got our brilliant logo right there on it. And it keeps your espresso warm for a really long time. Espresso is a short drink. It's designed to be drunk in 8 to 10 minutes. But as someone who only drinks espresso, this is really important for me. So coffee cup cheers, y'all. Let's get the show going. Nice and warm. And I'm in a hotel with an espresso machine in the room. Do you know how rare that is in America to have an espresso machine in the room? All right. Make sure to subscribe. Make sure to follow us on your favorite social media platforms. You'll hear from our friends at Nudge here just momentarily. But before, let's go ahead and get started. Veeam warning customers today to patch a critical security vulnerability that's allowing unauthenticated attackers to sign into any account via the Veeam Backup Enterprise Manager. VBEM is a web-based platform that enables administrators to manage backups and replication installation via a single web console. It helps control backup jobs and perform restoration operations across an organization's backup infrastructure and large-scale deployment. The CVE that's been attributed to this specific vulnerability is CVE 2024-29849, which Veeam has rated with a CVSS score of 9.8. That's significant. The vulnerability in the Backup Enterprise Manager allows an unauthenticated attacker to log into the Veeam Backup Enterprise Manager via web interface as any user would. Admins who cannot immediately upgrade to VBEM version 12.1.2.172, which patches the security flaw, can still mitigate it by stopping and disabling the Veeam Enterprise Manager SVC and REST SVC services. That's the REST API. If it's not currently used, Veeam Backup Enterprise Manager can also be uninstalled using the instructions. Again, this specific flaw is being used for ransomware attacks. In May of last year, Veeam patched another high-severity vulnerability in the backup and replication software that was and could be exploited to breach backup infrastructure host. The vulnerability was subsequently exploited by financially motivated ransomware attacks, like ransomware operations like Conti, R, Evil, Maze, Egregor, and the more recent one, Black Basta. Veeam's products are used by more than 450,000 customers worldwide, include 74% of all global 2,000 companies. So this is significant. Taiwanese-based QNAP Systems on Tuesday rolled out patches for multiple vulnerabilities in its NAS devices, including a bug for which a proof of concept code was published last week. That specific issue, CVE 2024-27130, is described as the unsafe use of the star CAPI function in the no support ACL function, which is utilized by the get file size request in the share CGI script. The script is used when a user shares files with external users, and successful exploitation of the vulnerability requires an attacker to obtain the SSID parameters generated when a NAS user shares a file. So it's not as easy, not impossible, not as easy, requires a lot more attention, meaning it's a specific type of attack, not something that's more common, i.e. what we just talked about with Veeam. According to Watchtower, the vulnerability leads to a stack buffer overflow and could be used for remote code execution. They've shared technical details about this CVE as well. And again, all of these show notes are available on our Substack or in the show notes. You can go check them out there as well. Let's get to Bitbucket, where threat actors were found breaching AWS accounts using authentication secrets leaked as plain text in a Bitbucket artifact object. The issue was discovered by Mandiant, who was investigating a recent exposure of an AWS secret that threat actors used to gain access to an AWS environment. Bitbucket, a Git-compatible web-based version-controlled repository and hosting service run by Atalesian, offers developers a code management and collaboration platform. The Bitbucket Pipelines is a CI/CD service that automates the build, test, and deployment process. System admins often link pipelines directly to AWS for a rapid deployment of apps or to access resources using AWS CLI, SDKs, or other AWS tools. So when a variable is set as secured in Bitbucket, they're stored in an encrypted form to prevent public exposure of its value in the Bitbucket environment. However, Mandiant discovered that artifact objects generated during pipeline runs can contain sensitive information, including secured variables in plain text. As developers may not be aware that these secrets are exposed in artifacts files, the source code may be published to public repositories where threat actors can steal them. This goes to the relevance of AppSec security at its most there. Artifacts are defined in the Bitbucket pipeline that YML config file used to specify the CI/CD processes. One of the directives which are used to specify variables, files, and directories that are exported to artifact objects to be retained and used in further steps of the build and testing. It's common to see some of these in plain text, according to Mandiant, and they have proof of that. For mitigation, Mania is reminding developers that Bitbucket was not designed to manage secrets, suggesting a dedicated specialized product for that. There's plenty of those in the marketplace. Atalesian has said to Bleeping Computer that the method demonstrated by Google is unusual for a developer to perform and it goes against best security practices. I love this response. It's dumb. I'm going to just say it. What do you mean it goes against best security? Okay. Tell me every developer on the planet uses best security practice. I'll wait. I'm not holding my breath because I don't want to die. I enjoy living. But you're kind of off here a little bit. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick break. I want you to hear from our friends over at Netra Security about SaaS security, because obviously we could talk about AppSec. That's one aspect of it. SaaS is just as important. Here's a brief message from our friends over at Nudge Security.
When your CEO asks, hey, are we using that SaaS app that was just breached? How quickly and confidently can you answer? Due to the sprawling nature of SaaS app adoption, it's hard to know who is using what and to understand the implications when a popular SaaS app is breached. To solve this, Nudge Security discovers and categorizes every account for every SaaS app ever created by anyone in your organization. And a full inventory of all SaaS accounts is available within minutes of starting a free trial. Not only will you know who's using what, but you can automate communications out to end users, called nudges of course, that remind them to enable MFA, shut down unused accounts, enroll apps in SSO, etc. And Nudge Security will notify you of breaches impacting your SaaS provider so you can take immediate action to mitigate the impact. Start a 14-day trial now at nudgesecurity.com/cyberhub.
Thanks to our friends over at Nudge Security for that great message. Again, go to nudgesecurity.com/cyberhub. Get your 14-day free trial. I've had a lot of feedback. This is the second time we've partnered with Nudge, and a lot of people have said that they've been using the product. I've had my team use it. It's great. It gives you some unbelievable visibility and controls over SaaS environments. Go check it out. Again, nudgesecurity.com/cyberhub. Get your 14-day free trial. Let's go ahead and continue. Rockwell Automation is warning customers to disconnect all ICS not designed for online exposure from the internet due to increasing malicious activity worldwide. They should, and according to them, network defenders should never configure such devices to allow remote connections from system outside the local network. By taking them offline, they can drastically reduce their organization's attack surface. I'm sorry, I'm laughing. Hey, everyone, if you're not on the internet, you can't get hacked. Here's a solution. How about Rockwell Automation that's under a DOJ investigation for writing code in China, for breaking essentially every single golden rule of critical infrastructure security? How about you build better products? if someone needs to connect something online, they're obviously doing it for a reason. So there's a whole slew of issues there, and they're blaming geopolitical tension and adversarial cyber activity globally. Do you not write your source code in China? Because I could have sworn I did a story about this a few years ago. Just saying, like last year, like literally last year, like 14 months ago, we did a whole story on Rockwell Automation being under DOJ investigation for the way they write code. And they were justifying the fact that, well, we write a code in China because it's cheaper and more effective. And then our US team checks it to make sure there's no backdoors. Yep. Sure. If you believe that, I've got a bridge in Brooklyn to sell you. Many CVEs on the Rockwell Automation products, many of them on the Factory Talk version of the platform. The most recent CVEs are CVE 2024-219-014, 219-015, and 219-017, all on the Rockwell Automation Factory Talk View ME service platform. All of those, CISA today issued an alert regarding Rockwell's Automation's new guidance to reduce ICS devices' exposure to the internet. So there's that there from Rockwell Automation. A new Chrome update has been released. Chrome 125 resolves 6 vulnerabilities, including high severity bugs that were reported by external researchers. The first many of these issues, go check it out, get them updated. We're really short on time here, and I've got a whole lot more to talk about. So Chrome 125 released, go get that patched. A malicious crypto mining campaign codenamed Ref4578 has been discovered deploying malicious payloads named Ghost Engine that uses vulnerable drivers to turn off security products and deploy the XMR rig miner. Researchers at Elastic Security Labs and NT have underlined the unusual sophistication of these crypto mining attacks in separate reports, but shared detection rules to help defenders identify and stop them. So first of all, they're disabling your EDR, which is one of those on these vulnerable drivers. What's unclear is how servers are initially breached. This starts with the execution of a file named tiworker.exe, which masquerades as a legitimate Windows file. The executable's initial staging payload for Ghost Engine, which is a PowerShell script that downloads various modules to conduct different behavior on an infected device. When the tiworker.exe is executed, it downloads a PowerShell script named getpng from the attacker's C2 server, which acts as Ghost Engine's primary loader. The PowerShell script downloads additional modules, and their configuration. It disables Windows defenders, enables remote services, and clears various Windows event log. PNG then verifies the system has at least 10 megabytes of free space, which is necessary for furthering the infection, creating scheduled tasks named OneDrive Cloud Sync, default browser update, and OneDrive backup, a cloud backup for persistence. The PowerShell script will then download and launch executables named smartscreen.exe, which acts as the Ghost Engine's primary payload. The malware is responsible for terminating and deleting EDR software and downloading and launching XMR rig to mine for crypto. A list of the processes are all in the show notes. You should go and check this out. Defending against this, they suggest to look for suspicious PowerShell executions, unusual process activity, and network traffic pointing to crypto mining pools, all of which are effective. The UK, in another bonehead move by lawmakers, are proposing mandatory reporting for ransomware attacks and licensing regime for all payments. The major overhaul of how the country responds to ransomware attacks by requiring all victims to report incidents to the government and then obliging those victims to seek a license before making any extortion payments. Let me guess, you're going to have to pay to get that license, right? Double extorted by your own government. Wow. The amount of the lack of competency from lawmakers just is astounding. The proposals will be included in a public consultation to be published next month. Brian, everyone, just write your letter. Just do it now. Also being put forward is a complete ban on ransom payments for organizations involved with critical national infrastructure. The ban intends to remove the incentive for hackers to disrupt this critical. Yeah, because they're only after money. Because it's not like if they hacked it, leaked the data, requested a payment, didn't get paid, no one's going to pay him for it. Right, because there's not malicious actors out there that want that data. When you want to lose faith in humanity, you read something like this and you go disconnected from reality. All right, number one, for our friends over in the UK and the lawmakers that want to target ransomware, develop a strong foreign policy and deterrent for nation states that host these criminals that perform that type of activity and allow them to operate from their territory, some of it within your own EU nations and CIS countries. Number two, tariff. Economic sanctions will put an end to it much quicker than anything else. especially when you're an economic powerhouse or used to be like the UK. All of which would be much better than adding more stress on cybersecurity practitioners that are overworked and underpaid, that are underappreciated, that face an uphill battle and still have to constantly worry about reporting and now civil and criminal penalties. So there's that. A few final stories here, and we're not going to have time. We're way over time here. But a Russian-linked APT group, Turla, is using PDF and MS Build project files in a campaign that uses socially engineered emails to deliver the tiny Turla backdoor as a fileless payload. The campaign's seamless delivery routine is a notable evolution in sophistication, something really worth reading. I'm going to try and dig into this on tomorrow's show. Hacktivists turned to ransomware and attacks on the Filipino government, according to researchers from Sentinel-1. They say a group called ICRO's Red Team is one of a handful activist entities going after the Philippines government's targets, many of them being political. They're small-scale attacks. They're not really asking for a ransom. Some of their messaging is extremely political, and so there's that. And finally, the other big news, Kevin Mandian, founder and CEO of Mandian, is stepping down from his role in just 9 days. The company confirmed yesterday that Mandian is to continue to sit on the board of Google's public sector and transition as an advisory role, but an end of a era in cybersecurity as Kevin Mandia will be leaving Mandia. That's it for our show this morning. We'll be back with a whole lot more tomorrow, 9 a.m. Eastern, live right here with all the latest and greatest. Go check out our friends at Nudge and thank them for their support of the show. And make sure you share, comment, like, let us know if you want us to do deep dives on anything. Till then, have a great rest of your day, and most importantly, stay cyber safe.
We love feedback, so make sure to connect with us on social media and subscribe to our podcast on your favorite podcast listening platform.